Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
Sitting here drinking coffee in my Men Church Stuff Podcast mug.
I know, right? And it, like, once my head stopped spinning with just schedule and music department stuff and performances and this and that and this and that, now that we're entering, you know, the season of Thanksgiving when everything seems to slow down.
Yeah,
like what what yeah,
and Christmas and
I know it's so slow, but what I was going to say was I really do want to work on trying to figure out how to get some merchandise available to anybody who would want it, because that coffee mug's pretty banging, dude. So
yeah, right now it's exclusive. There's only two in existence, far as I know.
Yeah, they're prototypes. That's right. Yeah, I don't remember if I mentioned this on the show, but listeners, for my birthday, Brad got me a Men Church Stuff official coffee mug. It looks so good. I mean, seriously, it looks so good. So
and for DJ's birthday, I also got myself one.
That's right. Yeah. Unbeknownst to him, he did, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
So Brad, that's probably like the greatest way to get a gift is to like use yourself as kind of the scapegoat. I didn't really mean to send it to me. Yeah. I guess I have to get another one.
Yep.
Then I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I accidentally sent it myself, liked it so much. Went, I'm just going to buy DJ another
I'll
one.
Just buy DJ one. That's funny. So, true story. My grandpa, listeners, my dad's dad, grandpa, I don't know how old dad was. And I know you've probably heard the story that grandpa bought himself a fishing rod, but he did it as a gift to grandma. I don't know if it was for like her birthday or Christmas or whatever. And he bought a fishing rod knowing good and well that she would hate it and give it to him. So thinking that she was just going to just give it back to him, she didn't. She held on to it. And listeners, I like, don't do this. We encourage healthy marriages on this show. But it is pretty funny that behind grandpa's back, what she did was she made dad take her out into the middle of a lake where grandma proceeded to take the fishing rod and just dropped it in the lake, never to be seen again.
To sleep with the fishes.
That's right. That'll teach you to give me something that I don't want.
You know,
that's my family.
Yes. And see, and I just imagine like a few days later, some guy going fishing and getting caught on something,
right?
And being frustrated until he reels it in. And he's like, it's like a brand new fishing reel.
Dude, the tags are still on it.
like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, right.
I was having a bad day. I hadn't caught anything.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, can you imagine, seriously, if that ended up happening, what a blessing that would be.
Unexplainable.
Oh, man. And yeah, and this is not what today's topic is about, but Brad, I really do love the meme that I've sent you and Dad a couple times. I think it's Bill Dance is on the is you know who the picture is. Listeners, yeah. If you know who that is, he's a really famous fisherman. But it says, if you ever make your wife angry, go get yourself a new fishing rod. She'll still be angry, but you'll have a new fishing rod. Greatest marriage advice. Yeah, I love it. It's so elegant. I love it. So Brad, I got a lot of compliments on our last Mad Libs, Psalm 23. Listeners, if you haven't checked it out, go listen to Psalm 23. It's a great ep. But we Mad Libbed we Mad Libbed some scripture. And one of my students who works here in the music office, Brad, she listens to the show. And she loved it so much that she said, shout out to Katie, by the way. Shout out Katie McDonald. Thank
Hello,
you so
Katie.
much. Hey, Katie. So she loved it so much that on her own, she did Job 41. So the today's topic is about like who God really is through through just the I'll call it the spanking. I mean, it's a verbal spanking that Job got. But we're gonna start with Job 41 Mad Libs. She and fun little side note here. She was asking me, is it okay if I do this or what do you think about that? And I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know at all because that takes all the fun out of it. So, let me get there. I will pull this up here and all right, Brad, I need, oh, hang on. Let me open this up in Word. Yes. Enable editing. All right, Brad. I need a noun.
Fighting or fight.
That's a
Oh no,
verb.
you said noun.
That's a
Oh
verb.
yeah. Hey, you're welcome. I'm good at
We know
math.
good English here on
Listen,
podcast,
listen, I'm good at
people.
math. I'm good at math. Noun. Balrog. Just because now I gotta go with it.
Balrog. All right, the
That's my
Balrog.
comeback response.
He makes another appearance. All right, I need another noun. Yosemite. All right, Brad, I need a violent verb, not a regular verb. I need a violent one.
Is fighting
That, like, I
violent
mean, I
enough?
guess, like, you're the one
Okay.
answering it. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna
Fight.
go with fighting.
Fight. All right. Body part. This is a family show. How about eardrum? Brad, I need a noun.
Coffee.
Coffee. Yet another appearance. Let's see. I need another noun. Trigger. Body part.
Nose.
Nose. Ooh, this I need an aggressive verb. An aggressive verb. Chastise. I need a body part.
Toe.
Huh?
Toe.
Toe. And let's see, a noun. How about I almost said Frodo. We need to steer clear of Lord of the Rings for now. Like
Never, never.
F-14 Tomcat. All right. I need a number.
42.
42 in a form of communication, sign language. I need a verb.
Fly.
Fly. In
You
this,
fools.
okay, so I need to be very specific here. I have a descriptive adjective, which is redundant. So, Katie McDonald, just to let you know, an adjective by definition is descriptive. So it's like I'm
Don't let him
describing.
bully you, Katie.
So I don't understand. So descriptive adjective, is that like an adjective of an adjective? Is that a describe? Is that something that modifies the modifier? All right. So
Here's
I need
one.
an
Here's one for
adjective.
you, jerk.
That's a noun, Brad. That's a noun. Actually, that would be a verb too. To jerk something. All
Stop.
right, so an
Just, yeah.
adjective is colorful. All right, I need a plural noun.
Plural noun. Kittens.
Kittens. All right, I need a type of craft, hovercraft. I need a verb.
Strolling. Stroll.
Strolling. Type of relationship. Formal. No, that's a bad one. Yeah, I'll go with it. Formal relationship. Period of time.
Medieval.
Medieval. All right. And I need a verb. So how about Bart? I mean, why not? No. I need an animal.
An animal? Donkey.
Donkey.
You're
Donkey.
asking.
A type of restraint. A straight jacket. I need a descendant. So like i.e. son, granddaughter, etc.
How about great grandson?
Great grandson. All right, I need a career. How about farmer? I need a verb.
Verb.
A verb.
Sorry, I zoned out there for a second. Zoning a verb.
Yeah. You want a
Zoning
zone?
out. Yes. Yeah,
All right, zone. That's a good one. Direction up. Plural career.
Plural career. What's a plural career?
I mean, one career with an S
You're
at the
so
end of it, Brad.
pathetic. You're so
Yeah.
pathetic. Additional pastors.
Pastors?
Yeah.
Tell Hannah that she is audible.
Hey, Hannah, you're audible, so.
Let's see. Body part. How about forearm? Plural weapon.
Swords.
Swords. Body part. Hairline. Plural weapon.
Laurel, what lightsabers?
Lightsabers. Yes. Body part. How about patella? Another plural weapon, Brad.
Cutlasses.
Huh?
Cutlasses.
What's a cutlass? I don't know what a cutlass
It's a
is.
sword.
It's a sword. Okay. Cutlasses.
We're staying with the theme
Yeah,
here.
right. Yeah.
It's like a pirate sword.
All right. Another body part. How about eyeball? Personal pronoun.
Personal pronoun. What are those? Him.
Him. And a random memory. A random memory? Walking in a park. All right, here we go. This is Job 41, 1 through 8, Brad. Can you draw out the Balrog with a Yosemite or fight down his eardrum with a coffee?
Maybe.
Can you put a trigger in his nose or chastise his toe with an F-14 Tomcat? Will he make 42 sign languages to you? Will he fly to you colorfully? Will he fly to you colorful kittens? Will he make a hovercraft with you to stroll him for your formal for medieval? I don't think formal form of relationship did not work. We'll keep going. Will you fart with him as a donkey? Or will you put him on a straitjacket for your great grandson? Will farmers zone over him? Will they divide him up? Oh, that one works. Dang it. Will you divide him up among the pastors? Can you fill his forearm with swords or his hairline with fishing lightsabers? Lay your patella. I did too many plural weapons. Oh well. Lay your eyeball on him. Remember the walking in a park. You will not do it again.
I don't want a pet Balrog.
You want a pet Balrog? I mean, clearly. Thank you, Katie, very much. That was fun. All right, so the actual topic for today is, it is in Job 41, but it is not the entirety of Job 41. Something that caught my eye in Job 41 is Job 41:11. So actually, fun little fact, Job 41:10, the very first time, Brad, that I read this was like about 10 minutes ago. And I noticed something about Job 41:10 that makes me not even, I can't even begin to process the Leviathan because of this, because of the word rouse. Ready? Job 41:10 says this: no one is ferocious enough to rouse Leviathan. Like, I can't imagine that creature to think like Leviathan doesn't give a crap about human beings because nobody is worth his time. So, and then God says this: who then can stand against me? And then here's Job 41:11. Who confronted me that I should repay him? Everything under heaven belongs to me. So, just you know, as a point of clarification here to the listeners, a healthy reminder of Job here is that he's just getting a lambasting, right? I mean, like God is just kind of like proverbially just spanking him, you know? He's doing it in love. I don't think he's doing it out of condescension at all. But I definitely think that
it's a good father reminding his son of who he is who he isn't.
Yeah. That's.
And right. That our ideas, you know, cause Job's going through a lot and God acknowledges that.
Yeah.
Right. But Job's whole thing to his, if we can even call them friends, cause they're not real good. Well, friends like that, who needs enemies, yeah, kind of right. People.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah.
But you know, Job goes, if I could just get an audience with God, I'd plead my case, basically.
Right.
I just plead my case. He doesn't curse God, and all he does, he curses the day he's born. He curses like his own life and all this. I wish I wasn't ever made. And if I could just talk to God, I'd plead my case. And God goes, okay, here I am. Let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hold on just a second. You're going to answer some questions.
Yeah. Right. Before we have our conversation, right?
Before you just answer me these questions, we're going to set the paradigm here, and then at the end, Joe goes, "My bad," you know, basically.
Sorry. Like,
you know, like I withdraw.
Yeah,
everything that I was going to say. But one thing I love is, but God considers Job righteous, right? So he's going through all this, and you mean like, like he's mad at Job? No, he's just like setting Job straight in his paradigm.
Yeah.
I remember a time when I was driving and Isaiah was young, like probably like 4 or 5. And Isaiah's always been really good at knowing where we are, knowing where we're going. And he's sitting in the back seat and he goes, "You're going the wrong way, Daddy."
Oh,
and I said, "No, son, I'm not. And he's like, "You're going the wrong way, Daddy. This is not the way that mommy goes." And I'm like, "Son, I'm not going the wrong way. It may not be the same way that mommy goes, but yep. I know where we're going.
Yep.
I'm the driving, and remember who is the driver."
Right.
Right. It's not you. So that's enough.
Right. Yeah. No,
I wasn't mad at him. Matter of fact, right. I think it's hilarious, and I've told the story many times, but I am setting him this reminder of, hey, remember who is the dad and who is the driver and who is the little boy sitting in the back seat.
Yeah. So, to give us some context here about this particular interaction, Job 41, about this interaction, let me actually read the actual Job 1-8, and then I'll finish 9, 10, 11. Okay, so here's Job 41. Listeners, if you're where you can pull this up, you know, go ahead and pause the show, pull up Job 41:1 if you want to read along. I'm reading for the Holman Christian Standard Version. "Can you pull Leviathan with a hook or tie his tongue down with rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he beg for mercy or speak softly to you?" I'm going to pause right there. I'm certainly not speaking on God's behalf. I though can do nothing but assume the reason that God even remotely knew to say that is because the Leviathan begs for mercy or speaks softly to God. That's the only, that's that, like, I can't explain that verse outside of that. Verse 4, will he make a covenant with you so that you can take him as a slave forever? Can you play with him like a bird or put him on a leash for your girls? The whole Balrog conversation that we had back with Psalm 23. I mean, that's what this is. Will traders bargain for him or divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Meaning now, like, humans don't even have the ability to do that. Verse 8, lay a hand on him. You will remember the battle and never repeat it. Any hope of capturing him proves false. Does a person not collapse at the very sight of him? No one is ferocious enough to rouse Leviathan. Who then can stand against me? Who confronted me that I should repay him? Everything under heaven belongs to me. And then it continues on as to, you know, God continuing to explain about, you know, God's relationship with Leviathan. If I'm being fully transparent here, I was trying to figure out a way, like, can we use Psalm 41 for the show outside of Mad Libs? And I think we can. So Brad, obviously, you know, we are in, I'm going to say not full swing, at least not for everybody. But we are in motion. Look, our culture is in motion, moving towards Christmas, right? Halloween's over, been over for a couple weeks now. And so like, we're seeing Christmassy stuff everywhere. And one of the things that, you know, that you mentioned, about this particular verse, who confronted me that I should repay him, everything under heaven belongs to me, was that you, like, everything is his,
mm-hmm.
but yet he's having this conversation with Job.
Right.
As you doesn't mentioned, like, to. Yeah, he doesn't have to. That's what it was that you said. Like, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And if by chance, listeners, if by chance you're a skeptic, and when I say skeptic, you could be a churchgoer. It's got tons of questions. You could be a full blown atheist. That's got tons of rebuttals. What I would argue is that, yes, we believe on this show, we believe and openly state, you know, that God is love, God is real, God wants a relationship with you. But let me say it this way. If, in fact, God is real, just to kind of cover all the ground for potential, you know, for the potential of listeners, if, in fact, God is real, then he really doesn't have to answer to anybody.
He doesn't.
There is nothing that any of us can do to require that of him.
Hmm.
But yet, and again, moving towards Christmas, but yet he decided not to just have a conversation with Job. He decided to take it a step further. And he decided to not just talk to us, but he decided to take on basically the outer coat, right? He took on the form of a human. He took on the shape of a human. He took on the life of a human.
Well, right. He became human. Yeah.
He became a human. Yeah. Don't hear me saying that he wasn't. Yeah.
Fully human. Yeah. But,
yeah. So let me ask you this, Brad. Now that we're in kind of that season, what has been one of your sort of like awe experiences with understanding who God is?
Hmm. Where you start?
That's
one of the questions. Where how much time you got? All experiences. Let me just be a simple one. Let me just use a simple one that happened recently.
Okay.
Okay. Little background. I don't even remember why, but one of the things that I love the most is sun rays coming through the clouds. Because one is the reminder the sun's still there, even though you can't see it. But, but like seeing the effects, seeing those sun rays. And at some point in the last 10 years, I just really started feeling like, and again, this is the way I interpret things, right? Mm. In my own life, I really started feeling like that was God saying, I love you. And it was just that reminder that he was still there. And so every time I see those, I think it's like God saying, I love you to me. And I could not tell you the amount of times that I've been in a stressful period or in a doubting time and I've come out. Like I remember one time I came out of Walmart and I was so done. I was so tired. I was emotionally and spiritually and physically just almost bankrupt. And I walked out of Walmart of all places and I look up and the sun is setting and there's like 40 of these things coming through, like these clouds, just as this gorgeous picture. And I felt like God was saying, I love you. But just the other day, just having a rough morning, I come out, it's a cloudless sky, right? The sky is blue as can be. The sun is shining and it's kind of early-ish though. And I look back in the field past my house, like our backyard. And through the fog, there are these three very distinct, like sun rays,
Dude, that is like that's poetic right there. I love those scenes.
and again, like I'm looking up at the sky, it's blue, but here is, so it's like, and again, I just take it as just that gentle reminder that God uses to remind my spirit that he loves me and he's present. So, I could talk about a lot of other things, and big accidents or God working through these tragedies, but sometimes I think it's those day-to-day reminders that I love you. I'm present. I'm a personal savior. And so, what about
I
you?
had I like I'm really glad that I asked that question because I haven't thought about this in a really, really long time. When I was a senior in college, my first senior year, by the way, I had three of them. Yes, it took me 6 years to get a 4 year, 4.5 year degree. But
But now you're a doctor.
now I'm a doctor, right?
You sure you send DJ all of your weird bumps and things so he can,
Wrong doctor. Yes,
well,
wrong doctor. Correct. Incorrect. So, I was working on my senior recital, and I was having a really, really like bad emotional interaction with my percussion professor. And I for the record, I loved and still do love all like the majority of memories with my percussion instructor. But I mean he it was business time and it was really tough going. And anybody, listeners, if you either you are a music major or you've had friends who are music majors, I mean recital time is a totally different type of grind. So I was emotionally depleted. I mean, seriously, man, there was one night where I was just in absolute tears, and I like went out to the park, drove out to the park. I called my mom as a senior in college, called my mom just absolutely just bawling, crying. So one of my favorite pieces that I was playing was a Bach chorale on marimba, which listeners, big giant xylophone, that's all I'll say. But it was more special to me that I was able to experience just this gorgeous melody and harmony. And there was one evening I was practicing, and as I was like I just had my eyes closed as I was playing, and like in the middle of this completely unprovoked on my part, I felt God just kind of whisper this into my spirit. I'm right there. And that's when it occurred to me that the way that I had been listening to this particular piece was just sort of like the beauty as Bach constructed it, right? And I mean, I listen to music that way. That's what I mean, it's part of my job, it's part of my passion for it. But it was in that moment that I realized God is actually in between every one of these notes. So like the space that I was hearing in between these pitches on the marimba, and as chord one went from chord two, I like once he just kind of whispered that into my spirit, that piece took on a completely different character for me. And he met me, he gave me peace and assurance in a way that I really haven't had much of since then. Like on of not I'm not saying not peace and assurance at all, But that kind of flavor of it, I mean, it was very, very, very personal, very different. And again, like, you know, when we take into when we and kind of bring back Job into the conversation, when we kind of take into the consideration, I mean, the God who created a beast that he can talk to Job like this for, like, not a single human being on this planet can remotely and can remotely not just intimidate him, you can't even wake him up. You are not worth his time. That's the thing that I created. And I'm having a conversation with you. I'm meeting with you. And speaking of conversations and speaking of God, let's talk coffee. Because we need to talk coffee, Brad.
Over
This is
time.
coffee time, coffee time. Oh, let me cue the coffee music. Da-da-da-da-da. Cool. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen of Jackson, Tennessee area, or if you're visiting Jackson on Monday, November 18, that's today. Green Frog Coffee Company is a collaborator of ours. They in they support our show, and what they'll do is, if you take the coffee coupon Job or Job, because that's obviously the way it's going to look, Job or Job, and you take that to the north location of Green Frog Coffee Company, you'll get $2 off of your order, regardless of what you order, all day long. Green Frog is a fantastic coffee store, wonderful drinks. My favorite two are Southern Pecan and Toffee Coffee. They've got excellent pumpkin roll, great cinnamon rolls, excellent burgers. And like, as I list this, it's almost like, so are they a coffee shop? Actually, they are. And it that, like, Jackson, Tennesseans, or again, people that are in the area, Green Frog, it's their menu set up like a restaurant, but their location is really set up like a coffee shop. It's a great spot, like really, really hip joint. I love the people there. Wonderful people. They're built on Christian values, and their coffee is so good that even a snowman would drink it. So remember, take the coffee or the coupon code Job, $2 off your order. Take it to the north location of Green Frog and get yourself something to eat, something to drink, and enjoy the relationship that we have with them. So, Brad, back to what we
It's
were
like no
talking about.
actual frogs were used in the
No
brewing of this
frogs. Yeah,
coffee.
no, yeah. They're very, very friendly to frogs, as far as we can tell. They don't sell frog legs. So anyways, what's one of the things, Brad, that, like, whenever you think about, again, as I mentioned, we're rolling into the Christmas season. What's one of the things that constantly almost sort of like stops you in your tracks? Or do you have something that just kind of stops you in your tracks every Christmas season, about it could be the Christmas story, or more specifically, sort of like within, you know, the scope of our topic today, God's relationship with us.
I always think about the God who came, you know, Jesus, who came to be born to you know, this obscure couple that we know who they are because of Jesus.
Dude, that's well said. I've actually never thought about that, but you're exactly right. Like, who the heck were Joseph and Mary?
Right.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't
Yeah.
know them apart from Jesus. It
That's
was
right.
some carpenter and his wife, you know,
Yeah.
in Jerusalem a couple thousand years ago, but because
Right.
of Jesus. But the beautiful thing is that God knew them before. And God, you know, chose to use them, which is really cool. But I think about too, when Jesus is born, who the announcement is to that we see first. And that's the shepherds.
Yeah.
God sends his angels, his messengers to the shepherds, the vagabonds, those people that most people probably wouldn't have invited to their parties. You know, check their wallet when they walk by. You know, these are the guys that, oh, they smell like sheep because they've been with sheep. They're weird. You gotta be weird to be out in the middle of, you know, just
Yeah. Yeah, your sheep aren't pets, they're family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet God sends a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of times when God sends an angel, like
Right.
even a Mary, like it's a
Even
personal
Mary and
angel,
Joseph
right?
both. That's exactly right.
Right. Personal. But in the proclamation to the shepherds and to us and the rest of the world, but like right there, he sends an angel, and then the heavens are filled with the multitude of the heavenly hosts. So, reminding us that the season is about Jesus, and that message is for all men, right? That we can come through Jesus, through the cross, because I can't think about Christmas without the cross,
Right.
you know, from the cradle, you know, to the empty tomb. They're so important in the story,
Yeah.
but we can come because Christ has paid the price for us. We can come because he invites us to come. Are you thirsty? Come. Whosoever will, come.
Yeah.
You know, take of the water of life freely. Accept his forgiveness for your sins. Accept him as Lord and Savior. So I think I'm just reminded, though, again, with the shepherds. And I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah.
But God loves, if I can put it this way, God loves outcasts. God
So
loves the underdog. God loves, yeah.
I want to interject this. So hold that thought, but this was actually this was part of my like my daily reading plan for yesterday. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 28 says God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, basically what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. You know, the verse before it is instead God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And you're, yeah, like
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly right.
Can I tell you on that note? Let me interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's funny. Like, I was a youth pastor, you know, years ago, and I'm sitting and I'm like, and I've asked God in the recent history, like, why would you choose me? Why would you choose me? Why would you choose to use me to pastor, to preach all this? And then I come upon my reading, which was that, like, soon after. And I just started to laugh because I was like, well, of course, you looked at me and went foolish and weak. Check, check, put him in.
Oh, I've got to look this up because
He's
it is
got it
so along
all.
the same lines. Brad, do you remember an old 1980s like late 70s and 1980s Christian artist named Rich Mullins? Our God is an awesome God. He
Okay,
reigns. Like
song,
he
yes. Yeah.
he wrote that. This is one of my absolute favorite quotes of his. He was asked, what is like one of what is something that is central basically like to your philosophy is, you know, one of your favorite quotes. And this is what he said. He had a seminary professor who said, "Class, you will forget almost everything I teach you in here. So please remember this, that God spoke to Balaam through his ass, and he has been speaking through asses ever since. So if God should choose to speak through you, you need not think too highly of yourself."
Amen.
Like, I love it because I mean that's what that's about. And like again that and this is the this is such the cool thing. I'm so glad that I read Job 41:11. First of all, thank you very much again, Katie, for Job 41. But again, verse 11 stuck out to me. Who confronted me that I should repay him? Everything under heaven belongs to me.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't owe you all anything.
and I still want a relationship with you.
Right. I don't
I am
owe you
still, I
anything.
know.
I don't owe you salvation. I don't owe you goodness, but I'm going to send it. And I'm going to send my son to pay the price for your sins so that you can be right
Right. Like
with me. So you can be a joint heir to the kingdom. So you can have goodness, but not because you deserve it, not because I have to give it to you, because
yes.
I choose to.
One of my absolute favorite lines from the band Reliant K is the beauty of grace is that it makes life not fair.
Yes, and one of my favorite lines as well.
Yeah, like Because it's not fair. You're right, God. It's not fair. And again, to the if there are skeptics listening to this show, I am okay to say if in fact God does exist. Clearly, I think that he does. I
No,
absolutely believe. Yeah, I
I
mean,
would say
I
he
know that he
does.
does. But like, but if in fact he does, there is nothing that we could do that would even remotely be able to sway him to sit down and have a cup of coffee with us. And again, like I really do enjoy reading Job because I'm passively aggressive. I enjoy reading Job, like again, just this lambast, like Job going, oh, I can't answer that question. 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 Yeah, I don't know, God. I have no earthly idea. And like you mentioned, the way that Job ends is that Job said, God, before I just knew your name, now I have seen you. Not, I mean, I actually can't speak to whether or not Job saw God physically. I don't know the answer to that. My assumption is no, but clearly, at least the implication is he has now seen a portion, a very small portion of how absolutely monstrously big God is. And that I think, Brad, for me, again, moving into the Christmas season, but you know, obviously Thanksgiving is not here yet, so I'm not trying to jump the gun. But I mean, you know, like really our culture just kind of it kind of revs up into Christmas once October, once Thanksgiving, or excuse me, Halloween's over. And you know, as we're moving into, you know, sort of the period of reflection and sort of the period of you know the warm hearth and chestnuts roasting, what is it? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, right? And so as we're moving into that, one of the things I love to think about, the reason I asked you, you know, is what's something that stops you in your tracks? Something that stops me in my tracks constantly is the fact that this whole story is true. It's real. It's not a fabricated narrative. It's not a fairy tale. And one of the things that I remember thinking just as an adult, one of the things that I began to really ponder was, okay, let's just play pretend and say that the Big Bang theory, right? The Big Bang happened the way that we always grew up thinking that it happened. Let's just play pretend. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm not saying that it did. That's not the course of this discussion. What was there before? Right? Like nothing turning into something
Who pulled the
is
trigger on it?
not possible. And so the more that I really began to meditate on that, the more I really just toyed with that in my head, the more that I paired that thought with this. People understand that there are things in this world that really are purely evil. And by and large, I will say, by and large, human beings are born thinking, I shouldn't punch this person in the face. I may not want to share a Barbie doll with you, but I'm not just gonna like get up and punch you in the nose and think that things are okay, right? I mean, that may be a bad metaphor, but like there are things that we as human beings just kind of innately know that's a bad thing, right?
Those who are without law are law to themselves, what God says. So
That's true.
basically, that
Yeah.
there's that because we're part of His creation, we innately have a sense of morality.
Yes. And all that said, the more that I paired with both of those things, the more I just constantly came back to the man, like it stops me in my tracks every year. This is true. And I'm not saying I'm a doubter, but I mean, when I do have those thoughts of, I mean, like, is this legit? Is God that big? And somewhere else in Job, I remember the lines like God asks Job, "Do you know how much snow is stored up in the snow warehouse, basically the storehouse? Do you know how much rain is stored in the storehouse?" Like, wait, whoa, time out. I didn't know the
I don't even
precipitation.
understand the
What?
question.
What? There's a metric for that? Like, So, all that to say, God is unfathomably giant, right? What is it? Is it Isaiah 55, 6 or 55, 8? My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But again, like, he loves us, man.
He
Gosh,
does.
dang it. He loves us. Wow.
He does. Now, I do want to say, because I do think it's important,
Go ahead.
because we've talked about some of these things, like seeing things that remind us of God's love, or we feel like God's saying, "I love you," and all that stuff. But I think one of the important things to understand is, DJ, you and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We've taken him for his word. We've sought his forgiveness. We've accepted his invitation. And so, like, his Holy Spirit is in us, and it's going to teach us and those kind of things, and it's going to help us discern right from wrong, and we get into his word to discern right from wrong. So I don't want anybody to get the idea of just that feel good, because I've talked to people even recently who's just, "Oh, I'm very spiritual. I believe there is a God." And okay, but you need to know that his name is Jesus, and he loves you, and you need to. So we don't put all of our eggs in that basket of all these sun rays saying God loves me,
No, that's
or
exactly
that's my
right, dude.
proof. Because what I don't want is for someone to be out in the middle of a field and just say, and I'm echoing, I heard this on somebody else, and I can't remember who it was. It was just a video in passing. But how sad would it be for someone to be in the middle of a field and be like, "God, if I'm good with you, just let a bird fly by right now," and a bird flies by right now, and then they stand the judgment, and they don't know Jesus, and God says, "Depart from me." And you're like, "But hey, but the bird flew by." Yeah, that was a bird that flew by.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you
And
not get
here's
that
all the
memo?
times
Birds
that I
flying.
drew, and here's all the times that I drew you to my heart. Here's all the times I was drawing you to my truth, and you resisted.
But
Yeah, I didn't see
the
that.
bird, but the bird.
Yeah. I
It was
mean,
a
you were in a
bird.
field full of birds, and yeah.
And I made
And
it.
they,
And you're right. It's a gorgeous bird. It is.
yeah,
But it
but
was just a bird.
so again, we get the truth of the scripture, and is we want you to know Jesus, and the reason for the season, and he is exclusive in his message that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He's exclusive in that he is God alone, but he is not exclusive in the invitation of come. It's open. Whosoever will. Come,
And
receive.
using Job here as an example of this, he's not just a God who wants to cradle you and rock you and sing you a lullaby. I mean, he's a God that is willing, because he is love, he's willing to let us experience suffering. And I understand fully that there's part of that that doesn't really make sense. And listeners, if you're a parent, you'll get that a lot more than if you're not. And I fully accept that I just hypocritically said that, because before I had kids, I hated it when people said that.
Yeah.
Stop it, knock it off. But it's
Do
true.
you know one of the things I dislike about Job, and not about Job as a guy, but Job about the book of the Bible, one of the things that I dislike is that as we're reading the narrative of Job, and as all of this is happening, and as we know what Job doesn't know, right? Because we've read Job chapter one, we see what God has told us is going on in heaven. We're kind of we got knowledge that he doesn't have. What I want to happen in the end is for God to tie it up in this nice little bow and say, "This is why it happened, Job.
Yeah, he never
This is what
does,
happened. This
dude.
is why it
Oh,
happened."
dude, go,
And
Brad.
he doesn't. God doesn't do
No.
that. God essentially, through this conversation with Job, and if I can paraphrase and boil it down to this, says, "You have to remember that I'm God. I know what you don't know. I can do what you can't do. I see what you can't see. You have to trust me."
Now, I will.
And I think Job's response is, "Yeah,
Yes,
okay."
but I also think that we need to give credit where credit is due on Job's part. As you mentioned, he said before all this happened, "I just knew your name, thinking that I knew who you were." And you know, and listeners, you know, if you haven't listened to it, again, I'll make reference to it. Go back and listen to the Psalm 23 up that we that came out a couple weeks ago. I mean, yeah, we did Mad Libs, but the idea is of Psalm 23 is that, and Brad, you're the one that mentioned this. You know, the still waters and the green pastures, they're less meaningful unless we have already come, or unless we're on the other side of the suffering. Like, but there's something even that you brought out, you know, Psalm 23, one of the things that David says is, I will prepare a table before your enemies. I will prepare a table for you before your enemies. You will get to reap benefits while in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. It's not just that everything sucks and then you're going to come out of it. And here, like, I'm not going to say that I long to be Job, because I don't. But I mean,
Job didn't
remember,
either.
yeah, no, Job didn't either. But remember, and don't forget that Job was, even though he was getting his share, he was still having a conversation with God. Like, the relationship is still there. It may not necessarily be one that's comfy, but it's one that's still active, right? It's still there. And you're right,
And
man. Like,
what I love about the end of Job is after Job's conversation with God, God turns to Job's friends and he speaks to them, but very differently.
Very differently.
He basically says, Job is righteous in my sight. And if you will bring a sacrifice and present it before Job, and if Job will accept it, I'll accept it. And a sacrifice to God, not to Job, but if you
Right,
bring
yeah.
it, and you present it before Job as a sacrifice to me, and if Job accepts it, I'll accept it. I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy. That's, yeah, super
And
crazy.
that's,
I mean, that's like, that's
but
high priest
awesome.
level, right?
Yeah.
And you know, something, I don't know how relevant it is. I mean, I suppose that it is. I definitely don't want to unpack it. We're at the end, we're at, you know, close to the end of our time, but the other thing that Job does that his friends don't is, like, question God directly. And I think that's another reason that God looks to his friends and says, okay, you need to, like, God, or Job is righteous in my sight, because he's the one that questioned me. You
Yeah,
know,
that's deep. Yeah.
he did something that's very hard, you know, and I openly admit that it's almost like, do I really put God in the seat of the defendant? Yeah, do it. I mean,
Just right. And but
yeah.
I'm always telling people, be brutally honest with God. I encourage people, be brutally honest with God. But keep in mind, he's going to be brutally honest right back with you. And that's what he does with Job. Oh, wait, can you? No, you
No,
can't.
you can't.
Did you? No, you didn't.
No,
You
as
even understand what I just asked you?
right.
No, you
Yeah, right.
don't.
Yeah. Did you know that lightning talk?
Yeah.
Lightning bolts say, "Here I am."
Here I am. I don't know, like, what's a noun? What's a verb?
Yeah.
Them all
Listeners,
mixed up.
thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out with us. We thank you so much for listening to our show. Support our show, rate and review us, subscribe to our show, follow us so that you know when new shows drop. Remember, with the code word Job, that'll send you, or that won't send you. The word Job is just the word Job, but you can take the word Job, and use it as coupon code at the North location of Green Frog Coffee for $2 off your order. We love, Brad and I absolutely love hanging out with each other. Brad, I'm going to say this, dude. I'm so excited. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I've already told Shara and I've already told my parents, whenever you and Tabitha and the kids are visiting for Christmas, like, as normal, you know, we're going to have you guys over to the house. Last year, and I don't remember if I shared this on the show or not, but last year for Christmas, Brad got me a game called Rail Baron. That is a favorite pastime of mine that I'm really excited is going to become a favorite pastime of ours, me, Dad, and Brad. Brad, I have yet to play it. I refuse to play it without you being there. And I am so excited. Now, I've already told Shara and Mom that when you guys are over, The dining room table is off limits. It's me, you, and Dad. We're sitting down playing Rail Band.
Maybe
And
with some Green
I
Frog
don't care what
coffee.
anybody else does, but it's us. It is us. So, again, listeners, you
So
know what
I
to
need to get
do.
me some Green Frog coffee because.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I'm so excited to take you. Yeah, I'm really excited to take you to Green Frog, introduce you to some folks. But, listeners, follow us on our Facebook group. We've got an Instagram. We have a Twitter account, an X page, formerly called Twitter. I will try to not be a dinosaur and use it, but you know how to follow us. Please interact with us. Comment. Let us know some of the things that you like about the show. If you have some Mad Libs, send them our way. I'll read them. But other than that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
All right, love you too. We'll see you guys next time.
Listeners, we
Stole
love
your
you.
words.
You took it, man. No, I'm retracting your statement, and I get to say it. Listeners, we'll catch you next time. There you go, Brad.
Bye.